Our Lord's a present help in time of trouble. Oh, just look up and say, I believe. When mountains seem so high, just look up and faith and cry. Oh, I believe. Hallelujah, I believe. Our Lord's a present help in time of trouble. Just look up and say, I believe. Oh, when mountains seem so high, just look up in faith and cry, I believe. Hallelujah, I believe. Our Lord's a present help in time of trouble. Oh, just look up and say, oh, I believe. Oh, when mountains seem so high, just look up and faith and cry. Oh,
I believe, hallelujah, I believe.
Our Lord's a
friend and help in time of trouble.
Oh, just look up and say, oh, I believe.
When mountains seem so high, just look up and faith and cry. I believe, hallelujah. Lord's a present help in time of trouble.
Oh,
just look up and say, I believe.
Oh, yes.
When mountains seem so high, just look up in faith and cry, I believe.
Oh,
hallelujah, I believe. Lord's a present help in time of trouble.
Oh,
just look up and say, I believe. trust and obey. Believe him and say,
oh, I believe God. Oh,
I believe God.
Oh, I believe God.
Ask what you will.
I believe God.
part of that new covenant that Brother Smith was talking about today. I'm telling you, Brother Fisher was talking today about what we're really a part of. I was reading my Bible earlier this week. By the way, is this using that? It is. My Lord. You know, I was thinking earlier this week, sometimes you get confused. You don't know. You're too old to be young, and you're too old to be young, and too young to be old, so you hardly know what class you really fit in. But we're part of that new covenant. Brother Smith was talking about that today. I was reading earlier this week, and it occurred to me that, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, the greatest single event in history, the very next day after that occurrence, business was being carried on just like it had the day before. People were operating right there with the greatest event that ever occurred in history. Happened right under those people's nose, and they didn't even know it. I thought, my, wow, how in the world? But Jesus, you know, he was telling them they had eyes, but they couldn't see. They had ears, but they couldn't hear. You got to have those spiritual. Brother Smith was straightening me out on that mind today. The Bible does say to be carnally minded is death. I was thinking about that while he was answering me. The greatest event that transpired happened right under those people's nose. And I was thinking about that. You know, when Jesus was here, he represented, and I think someone said something about that, Brother Smith or somebody, he represented the body of Christ. Here we are, he's coming back in a people, and we get to be a part of that. That's phenomenal. That is that, Brother Fisher was trying to explain that to us today. That's phenomenal. And it's possible, highly probable even, that, and the Bible even tells us, it'll come like as a thief in the night. We will be here right under people's nose. We'll be going out witnessing, like Brother Smith told us today. Numbers are required. We could be probably 100 times bigger than we are right now. And the world would go on like as though we're still not even here. And just like Jesus came and gave us that wonderful gift that he gave us, and people didn't even know it at that time, we may do the work that we are called to do even today, and business will go on just like usual out here. We'll come and we'll go. And things will still transpire just like we never was even here, like a thief in the night. I was thinking about that this week. I said, Lord, matter of fact, Brother McGowan, he called me and I had just read that. You know how when you just read something that's fresh on your mind, you can't be quiet? Like Jeremiah in the Old Testament, he couldn't be quiet. Could not be quiet. Those people wouldn't listen to him. And he made a statement. He said, I was going to be quiet, but I couldn't. I could not be quiet. And that's the way it is. When you get something fresh on your mind, you can't be quiet. My brother called me and I was unloading on him on the telephone. I know. It seems like my phone shuts me off every time I go to talking. It's almost like God's trying to tell me something, you know. Let other people talk. Me be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. But you can't hardly be quiet. And Brother Smith even told us it's numbers. He's the, and yet I say this, the Bible don't say it, but he's the trumpet. And we're the trumpet too. You know, under the trumpet. We go out, Brother Smith gives us the word. We go out and we share it with people. And then we win people and they share it. And then they share it. And I know Paul made a statement. He said, a little leaven will leaven a whole lump. But even a little bit of good will, it'll spread too. I thought, Lord, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to be part of what you're doing here. The greatest event. I know you might look around and say, Brother Paul, we're so small. Well, Jesus was only one man. He was only one person. Can you, and one might ask the question, can one person make a difference? Yes. Yes, one person can make a difference. And as one group of people, we can make a difference. And I know God's not here to save the whole world right now, but He is calling a group of people. We have a chance to be a part of that. And it seems like we're so small, but we got a mighty work to do. Mighty work to do. I'm glad to be a part of that. Another thing, I know y'all fixing to say, just give me just a second here. I went in the office this week, and a little occurrence transpired. They hired a new man out there. Well, I'll just tell you what happened. No need beating around the bush. They hired a new man in the office. Well, I go through the office acquainting myself with every one of them. They all know me out there. There ain't that many of them. Anyway, so they hired a new man. So I went in and I said, hey, I don't know who you are. What's your name? He told me. He and I got to talking. He had pictures sitting on the shelf. I said, is that your family? Yeah. So I was talking to him about his family. He's got a 24-year-old son that has decided that he is a woman trapped in a man's body. Now, can you get a load of that one? And I thought, I asked him, I said, does he act okay? You know, if it's inside of us, it comes out. We can't stop it. And this world is trying to say we're full of hate. But that ain't the case. We're not full of hate. We're full of love. You know, or at least we are supposed to be full of love. And I pray God help me get wisdom and more love inside of me. So I asked the man, I said, how do you deal with that? And he went to talk and he said, I ain't going to lie to you. He said, I really don't know how to deal with it. And I tried my best to be as sweet as I could to the man. And I walked out of his office and I walked into the other office, the dispatcher's where they was at. And I sat in and I was thinking about it. And I felt like Jeremiah. You can't be quiet. I said, fellas, how do y'all feel about this alternative lifestyle? I said, it's so ignorant, stupid. You know, they may fire me. I don't think this company will. They might. I don't know. I can't help it. If it's in, you know, somebody has to be a light. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. Somebody, somewhere. And along with me thinking about that, in the early church, Brother Tucker used to tell us, had Jesus kept his big fat mouth shut, he wouldn't have got in trouble. That's right. All he had to do is be quiet. You know, just back up, be quiet, back up, be quiet. And then I heard on the radio this week. Y'all forgive me if it sounds like I'm harping on this. A group, as a matter of fact, in the Houston meeting 2 years ago, was it Houston? I think it was Houston. Could have been Oklahoma City. Brother Dow got up and made the comment. He said, when the heat builds up strong enough in this world where the snow melts off the mountaintops and people can really see what these churches are really made out of, then they'll know. Then those people that, and he didn't say this part, but then those people that's in the valley of decision, they'll see those religions for what they really are. And they'll be able to make a choice. And again, I say we can increase 100 times. And probably the world, you know, will go on about their business. We might make a little bit of an impact. Maybe more than I realize. Maybe more. But you know, when you can't be quiet, you know, then you have to get on your knees and pray, God, give me wisdom. And we're not jumping on anybody. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about this. You take a baby that's just born. And I think I've used this illustration. Almost everything I've said before. But you know, you take a brand new baby that's just born. Because a lot of these people out here, they say that we're full of hate because we're constantly in their face. Well, you take a baby that's just born. They're hungry. They're looking for something. They don't know what they're looking for. And they start screaming. You know, you've seen it, your mothers. These babies are, they're screaming. Yeah! And you take this bottle. Sister Chelsea, where's she at? She's hiding. Well, that's okay. All right, you take this bottle and you stick it in their mouth. And the nipple's going to, and then finally you squirt that milk in their mouth. And the baby goes, ooh. You know, you can watch it. Their eyes get big. Ooh. Ooh, what's that? That's what I was looking for. You've been in my face all this time trying to poke something in my face and I didn't know what it was. But all we're trying to do is give these people what they really need. That's what we're trying to do. And so now when they tell me, you Christians are just all in our face. Well, yeah, that's right. We are in your face. We're trying to give you what you really need, what you're really looking for. You're looking for love. And what's that song, In All the Wrong Places? Yeah. Anyway, I was just thinking about this week. I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I need help. God, will you help me? I said, Lord, I feel like I... But we're dealing with the world, and we're talking about that new covenant. And I said, Lord, thank you. I thank you, God. I don't deserve this kind of a blessing, but you've given it to me. I don't deserve it, but you've given it to me. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Matter of fact, the Houston meeting, have I even got up? No, I hadn't even got up since that Houston meeting. That meeting was so good. It was so good. It was one of them meetings Brother Smith was talking about. He seen a fog. I was too busy. I didn't to look around. I was too busy raising my hands up. But I felt like I was putting my hand in a fog. I said, Lord, this feels so good. Thank you. I guess when you get that many people together, this reaching out to God. Brother Smith was talking about numbers today. When you get that many people reaching, that's really sincere-hearted, that's reaching out to God. You can get God's attention. You can get His attention. I know one person can get God's attention. Proof all through the Bible. Generation after generation, proof. One person can get God's attention, but a whole bunch of us can too. I thank God for His goodness. I thank Him for blessing my life every day. The more I read of God's Word and the more I feel of His wonderful presence, the more I realize I really have been called for something special. You know, we sit around here and we think we're doing nothing. But there's a work going on inside of us. Who was it? Which one of us was talking about building a wall? Was it you talking about today building a wall? People might discourage us, but we're working on a work inside of us. Matter of fact, I met another fellow this week. Let me tell you this story. I try not to bore you people completely to death. Young man, only in his 30s, he looked like. He told me he had lost his wife this week. Or no, I'm sorry. He told me this week he'd lost his wife three months ago. And I asked him, I said, he told me the whole story. And I asked him, I said, this young man was also saying that he had worked 80 and 90 hours a week trying to accumulate, you know, betterment for his family. And I asked him, I said, and he told me, he said, I could kick myself around the block down. All that time I was trying to work to accumulate, when in all reality, he said, I thought I was going to live till I was old with my wife. What had happened, she simply had a toothache. And she went to the doctor, and she was allergic to penicillin, and he gave her a shot of penicillin. Went home, went to bed, and by the next morning, she was gone. And I asked him, I said, would you agree that the most valuable thing that we have is what's inside of us? He said, yes, I would. He said, I would agree with that. That was one more I could have witnessed to, but it's so far away. Anyway, that's inside of us. That's what we're working on. That's the wall that Brother Fisher was talking about today. We're working on this. We're building something inside of our lives. We're trying our best to become high-quality people. Brother Smith told us it's going to take time for us to develop that in our lives. You know, God works on time. We think about something. We think about something. And we're going in that direction because we're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. Until finally we say, well, I'll try this. I'll try this. We're going in a direction. Y'all see that? If you're going in a positive direction, it's like the people that, like that young man that, you know, was thinking he was a woman trapped in a man's body. He was making decisions based on going this direction. With each decision he was making and each choice he was making, he was going in that direction. But with our choices and our decisions, that's why we come to church and we listen to God's Word. That's why Brother Beecher was talking about. We reach out and we try our best to get as much of that inside of us as God will allow. Because we're working on something. We're trying to build something. inside of ourselves so that when we walk in a room, we don't even have to say anything, but we're alike without saying anything. It makes me feel good just being a part of you folks. And I'm telling you, down in Houston, I got right in the middle of them people. I tried. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something God did for us, Brother McGowan and I. He did this. And I know you might not believe this. We walked in that sanctuary the first night of that meeting, and there's already 1,500 people there. Of course, Sister Lineker was sitting over there on the side. We had to say hi to her. Had to. And so Brother McGowan was talking to her, and I was making my way on down through there looking for a seat. I was looking on this side and on that side, and I was walking, looking on this side and on that side. Went all the way down to the very front, and I was thinking, well, I guess I won't find anything. So I was making plans to turn around and go back up another aisle. Got down there on the front row. I know you might say, bro, Brother Paul, you just make it. On the front row, 1,500 people sitting there. There was 3 seats on the front row. Now, I know you might say, Brother Paul, you're making this up. I believe God saved those seats for Brother McGill and I. I know you say, oh, you just think you're something. You know what? They was our seats. They was ours. I walked down there to the man. I said, hey, is anybody sitting in these seats? He said, no. It was like a voice inside of me said, I saved those seats for y'all. You know, you know, things like that make you feel good. And I know you about to say, oh, Brother Paul, you just think God is watching you. I think he's watching every one of us. I think he's watching every one of us. Those were our seats. We had to fight for them through the meeting, but we kept them. Man, I'm telling you. But while they was worshiping, I tried my best to get right in the middle of them. Right in the middle of them. And I was raising my hands. I was trying my best to reach out to God. Brother, matter of fact, Brother Wright, we had a prayer line on Friday, wasn't it? Friday, yeah. Well, almost everybody went through that prayer line. Well, the very next day, there was 3 young men that walked up to be prayed for. And I know that seems innocent is, you know, innocent. But it was like the Lord wasn't in that. And Brother Wright got up and he said, you know, I don't really believe that we're supposed to have a prayer line. Now, I know that may sound silly. But he told us, he said, I really believe that God just wants us to raise our hands and just praise Him. Just raise our hands and just praise Him. Well, you know, I don't know what everybody was doing behind me. I didn't really care. You know, I know he just made that statement. And I just raised my hand and said, God, I thank you. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said the Lord dwells in the praises of His people. I was thinking this week, you know, I really believe. If I get to boring you folks, y'all just tell me to shut up. I can't. Mr. Smith, tell me to sit down if I get talking too long. But I really believe that if we'll praise God, I really believe He'll give us the desires of our heart. If we'll just praise Him and thank Him, this is only a theory of mine, but I really believe it. I believe in my theory, let me say it like that, that if we'll just praise Him and thank Him, say, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. If we'll just start thanking Him for our healings that He's given us and the lives that He's healing. He's healing us inside. God's helped me. He's helped me. And I find that I can get further with God when I give Him the praise and thank Him. God, I thank you for helping me. I thank you for helping me. You know, I don't have to get on my knees and say, God, I do that. I say, God, I need help. But thank you for what you've already given to me. Thank you for what you've already done for me. Thank you for the blessings you've already given me. I really believe God will help us even more if we'll just praise Him and praise Him and praise Him and thank Him and praise Him and thank Him. I really believe He'll be there for us. I really believe He'll be there for us. I believe it. I believe it. And I can't say how much I do thank God for the blessings He gives me, for the help He gives me. He walks by my side. I feel His presence every day. I say, God, You know I don't deserve this, but You're doing it anyway. And I know you folks probably feel it too every day. Every day. You feel it. If you just thank Him for it. Just thank Him for it. He'll be our God. You know, like I told Him in the Old Testament, you just humble down. Call on My name. I'll be your God. You be My people. Well, them people was rejecting Him all the way through. Turning to rock, turning to stone, carving, you know, gods out of by hand. And God was telling them, hey, you know, you're making gods out of stock and out of stone, and then you bow down to them, and they have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have a mouth, but they don't speak, because there's no breath in them. You would have thought, how could them people not know that? And then they made gods out of silver, and I felt like God maybe has dealt a little bit with me on that one. I'm not Mr. Millionaire. But if I'm not careful, and if we're not careful, we can be chasing the almighty silver or the almighty gold instead of chasing the one that we're supposed to put our trust in. Lord, I said, God, I need help. I do need help. And I thank You for what You've already done for me. And I need more help. And I still thank You. Anyway, I'm sorry if I'm boring you people. I think about these things when I'm going down the road, and I say, Lord, how in the world and why in the world would You want to deal with the likes of me? But probably every one of us has thought the same thing, huh? There's no temptation but what is common to man. But God is good to us. He is good to us. And I thank Him for being good to us. I thank Him for being our friend. You know, we may think on a slow night. We may think when nothing is moving. I'm sorry, ladies. I will sit down. I promise. We think on a slow night. Nothing, you know. But really, God is still with us. God is still with us. He's still our friend. And I love Him. And I thank Him. I thank Him. I praise Him. I say, God, You're so good. So good. He's our best friend. I love Him. I thank You. God is our friend. Man.
So, you know, when you feel it, you know, I think you got to respond to the Spirit, and I want to do that. I don't want to sit there and think, oh, somebody else will stand up and do the work. I want to get up and do my part. Brother, I was thinking, what you were saying touched me in a way, because I've been thinking of some of the same things you've been you got up and talked about praising, and I didn't get to go to the Houston meeting, but right after the Houston meeting, I was in Dawson Springs, Kentucky. My wife and I were visiting, and there were people there that had gone to the meeting, and they had such good reports, and you could tell the Spirit had come across from that meeting into that service. That night, we had reports of other churches that were getting a good touch of the Spirit, so it's, you know, we've had a lot of good meetings, but I just felt such a shockwave from this meeting, so to speak, because I heard so many good reports, so many unbelievable things that I heard take place there. And on that note, you know, I felt like, you know, I needed to praise Him more. I want to praise Him more, like you said. Sometimes I don't want to come down to a prayer line and think me. Like, I watched a part of the meeting, and I think Brother Wright was saying something about, let's not make this about us. Let's not make this about me. We have to remember we've got a work to do. We are here on business, and although we do need things for ourselves, there's so much more out there that needs our attention. And I can't just get into a pity party feeling sorry for myself. I need to, you know, start realizing, you know, I can live righteously. I can live a righteous life. I can deny worldly lusts, ungodliness. I can live a godly life. And I believe I can. That scripture said, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, that's hard sometimes because, you know, me personally, I don't like feeling like I'm not in control. That's just me, maybe my personality, but I like to feel like I'm in control of my situation, like I'm in control of my circumstance. If I'm not, if something goes out of the ordinary that I'm not expecting, I can easily panic sometimes. I like to be in control. I mean, that can be a good thing, that can be a bad thing. Just one of my personality flaws, one of the things I'm working on. But that's one thing. I don't like not being in control of my situation. And that can be a bad thing when I'm needing to trust God. Because I can want to take things so much into my own hands, and I can not be considering, well, what does God want to give me out of this? What's he trying to tell me? What agenda does he have here? Maybe he needs to grow something in me spiritually. On that note about giving him a praise, I'd like to share this experience I had. I didn't share it with but just a few people. But I was it was right after that meeting in Houston, and I had I was at home and I was thinking of some different things. It was a situation. There were a couple things I felt like I was not in control of, and I was getting myself a little bit worried about it. And in the midst of that, to make a long story short, I realized, wow, I forgot to pay my tithes over these last couple weeks. And I felt so bad about it. I thought, oh Lord, I'm so sorry. I know that's one of the things I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tithe. I'm supposed to give that. And I'm sorry I felt bad about it. I kind of added it up in my head and got an approximate amount that I needed to give into tithes. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll get that to you as soon as I can. The very next thing, I'll make it work. And then I was looking for something, and I went out into my car. I can't remember what it was I was looking for, because that's not really the point. The point was, I got out there and I went looking for my glove box. I pulled out a roll of cash that added up to the exact amount that I estimated I was supposed to pay in tithes. And I was taken aback for a moment. I thought, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You've proven once again that, you know, you're in control. I got to let you have control. I'm just going to give it to you. I went into the house, and I was thinking, and I thought, for some reason, I felt like I needed to give the Lord a real praise. Not just a little thank you. I needed to give him a praise. And I put the money down on the table. I raised my hands in that house, and I started praising him. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what... For providing for me, Lord. Thank you for reminding me that your hand is on me. And a feeling came over me, and I started speaking in tongues in that house. And I've spoken in tongues before, but I've never spoken in tongues outside of this church before, but I could not stop it. It came to me. It came over me. I started speaking in an unknown language. I could not stop it. I could not keep it from coming out of my mouth, and I, every time I'd stop and get my bearings, it'd come again, and I'd grab onto something. I was getting ready to fall over, and I was trying to get a hold of myself, and I could not stop. It went on for about an hour, and these words kept running through my head. I realized that God's hand was on me, and it was going to stay there. As long as I counted on him, it was going to stay there. But somehow I felt like he was showing me from a broader perspective. I thought about the things that I heard about the meeting, about the last meetings I'd gone through, about the way I've seen this assembly go through, the way I've seen it go through its ups, through its downs, and the way I've seen it even through tough times, it's been a steady growth. And I'm thankful for the place we're at today. And I heard these words in the back of my mind that went back and forth saying, God's hand is on His church, and it will stay there until the work is done. So what am I worried about? What am I worried about if I go through a little trial here and there? What am I worried about if every church goes through a rough spout sometimes? Every church has to go through a rough patch. I we can get so discouraged about people that leave, people that have left, people that have given up on God's walk, people that have gone out and lived such a sinful life. But I think sometimes I as an individual, I have to go through a baptism of fire. You know, I have to go through suffering to get myself into a position where, you know, God can help me grow. God can help me take me to a new level. And I think the body, you know, not it doesn't, I don't think it's just limited to one individual. I think an assembly can go through a baptism of fire. I think an assembly can go through a baptism of fire. I think this whole church could go through a baptism of fire. But why do we go through something like that? I don't think God puts us through something like that unless He decides it's time for us to grow in some way. It's time for us to mature in some way. And isn't that something, rather than to get down about, isn't that something to rejoice about? Isn't that something to praise Him about? Sure, some things are sad, but we're moving on. We're moving on. Our last youth service, I think it was our last youth service, we had all the young people come up here and sing, and I looked at that youth group and I thought, wow, we have something. We have something here that I've never seen in this assembly before. We have young people with a fire for God in their hearts. We have young people that are getting a vision and understanding that it's time to move forward, and understanding we've got to, you know, just praise Him. We got to just raise our hands in church and praise Him and not think about our petty problems. You know, we're part of something so much bigger. So much bigger. Why should I worry or fret? Because my God hasn't failed me yet. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. You know, that song is singing about going inside the gate. No more to cry, no more to die. A crown of life you've won. Well, you know what? I think I'm thankful for the gate we're in. We've come through now. You know, I'm thankful that we have our eye on the gate, and it's a narrow gate. And I think someone can grow up in this their whole life. I'm a perfect example that someone can be this in this their whole life and never find the gate. And they can walk out there and, you know, we talk about, you know, a narrow way. And I think sometimes this way can be so narrow that if we're not trusting God and we're not depending on Him, that we won't see the way. We won't see the gate. And I'm thankful that we have a vision here. I'm thankful that I can see the gate. I'm thankful that I can see my goal. I'm thankful that I can that I have an understanding that my goal is to reach perfection. Not just to say the Lord died for my sins and it's done, but I'm thankful that I have an understanding that I can reach perfection. I'm thankful that I have an understanding, as Brother Smith's been teaching us, what Christ came here to do. Came here to show us, you know, to perfect the law. You know, bring us to an understanding, you know, that He lived a perfect life, so can we. You know? And He lived a perfect life by the Holy Spirit, you know, in His life, but I can have the Holy Spirit in my life, and if I'll yield to the Holy Spirit and I'll follow the Holy Spirit, I can live a perfect life too. And if I can get a fullness of the Holy Spirit and really listen to it, I can live a perfect life too. So I'm thankful. I wanted to get up and share that experience with all of y'all because I really am encouraged. I am encouraged today, and I just wanted to get up and say I'm encouraged because I believe the Lord's taking this assembly forward. I believe we're growing, not just naturally, but spiritually. I believe we've healed not just naturally but spiritually. I believe we're in a good place. And I believe He's taking us to higher places. And that's something to praise Him. So I'm going to give Him a praise. So let's praise Him today. Let's see what He... This service isn't over yet. We've got plenty of time. You know, if the Spirit moves, I mean, I'm thankful, you know, that we don't have a set schedule or agenda. That if the Spirit moves, we'll go as long as it takes to get as much of that as God wants to give us. So let's not think about what we're going to do after. Let's get what we can get here today. Here tonight. This is exciting. It really is. It's inspiring. It's inspiring, you know. It inspires me to do greater. It's easy to go out into the world, you know, and live the way they're living and then come in here and get inspired. But I believe we can get something tonight that will inspire us to go on even out there. You know, if we can discipline ourselves to hold to that, you know, we can live a righteous life. And we can overcome sin. So let's do that. Let's do that. Let's see what He has for us. Young people, listen to the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. It's here. It's in our midst. And even if you don't necessarily feel that tug on your heart, that doesn't mean the Spirit can't use you. That doesn't mean the Spirit can't touch you. Some of the testimonies that I've given, and I've gotten up and told, and you know, given a testimony, and I felt like, you know, I felt like the Lord touched me the most. It's times I didn't even feel like I needed to get up, or times I didn't even feel a tug at my heart. But if you can get up and learn, you know, I want to be a willing vessel. You know, even if I don't necessarily feel it in me, I want to be a tool. I want to be God's tool. Learn to tap into the Spirit. Learn to tap into the Spirit. And let's praise Him. Let's see what He has for us tonight.
How can I not shout when I think of what He's done? How can I not sing when I know where He's brought me from? How can I not have joy, sweet unspeakable joy, since He came into my life and turned it all around? How can I not shout when I think of what He's done? How can I not sing when I know where He's brought me from? How can I not have joy, sweet unspeakable joy, since He came into my life and turned it all around? How can I not shout when I think of what He's done? How can I not sing when I know where He's brought me from? How can I not have joy, sweet unspeakable joy, when I think of what He's done? How can I not sing when I know where He's brought me from? How can I not have joy, sweet unspeakable joy, since He came into my life and turned it all around? How can I not shout when I think of what He's done? How can I not sing when I know where He's brought me from? Joy, sweet unspeakable joy, since He came into my life, turned it all around. How can I not shout?
Bible says that your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. And quite honestly, I think I'm more on the dreaming side of things nowadays. But I have no real visions of grandeur, as it were. But I don't dream about way things might have been, you know, either. So, but I press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. So, I thought, how many of y'all want to believe God tonight? Everybody raise your hand. I want to believe God. I want to believe God. Me too. I thought, that man, I think he had a son that he wanted Jesus to heal. And he said, "Lord, can you heal my son?" And Jesus said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." And that's where we're at tonight, isn't it? Yes, we do believe. We do believe God, and we have that desire. Appreciate these young men and the vision they have. And they want to believe God as we do, too. And we... So we have that sometimes that mindset that you know, that how can we, in other words, how can we believe? How can we believe more than, well, Lord, help my unbelief. If you want, if you're looking for a formula to believe more, Lord, help my unbelief. Ask and you shall receive. And so I just want to get up and say that. You know, I kind of teeter-totter on the you side every now and then. Like Brother Smith said, old age is not fair sometimes either. So, but I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I appreciate God, and Lord, help my unbelief.
It helps me a lot. I mean, I don't know how to put else to put it.
It's younger youth like that that makes me want to get up, because I know if they can do it and if they're believing, I know I can. You know, and I was thinking about that Proverbs 3 has been mentioned a lot today, two or three times. I wanted to go to that. See if I can go back on that. Let's think about how when they said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor thy Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." You know, we don't give God our second best or our I'm trying to find the word to say this here. You know, our secondary, our leftovers. Yeah, thank you. So shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And I'm thinking that goes along with what Caleb was saying. You know, when we're going through a hard time or the church going through a hard time, you know, we don't need to despise the God trying to correct us, because God corrects us because he loves us. Like Caleb said, we need to rejoice in that. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Which, that's what that song is saying. You know, I believe in God, you know, for the Lord shall be your confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, I want to go back to that. I just had a thought. Withhold not good from them who it is due. You know, when we're sitting down and we're thinking whether or not to testify or not, the Bible tells us right here, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. We're supposed to get up and we're supposed to testify so we can bless others and want them to give their testimony. Say not unto thy neighbor, boor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And that has to do with the scripture. If we humble ourselves and seek his face, then he'll give us grace. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be to the promotion of fools. I just want to say that, and I'm thankful to be here today.
Okay. Well, Gabriel, is known as Joseph, inspired me to get up because he mentioned sharing our testimonies, and I was thinking a little bit about mine, and I've shared this testimony in other places, but not here. My Holy Spirit birthday, I don't like sharing this testimony because I cry, just so you know. Okay. In a couple of weeks, it'll be my Holy Spirit birthday, and I will be 13. A teenager, it's a very special day to me. I think I was around six when I started to strive for the Holy Spirit. There was a lot of kids in the El Dorado Assembly at the time, and there was this big group of girls, and I was the youngest, and they were all excited because they wanted to get the Holy Spirit, and of course I was like, oh yeah, me too, and I had no idea what I was talking about, but I wanted it too. And all the girls, I'm not joking, I kid you not, I'm not even exaggerating, all the girls got the Holy Spirit that Sunday except for me. And I was so mad. I don't get sad, I get mad. And I was mad. And I was bummed out, and years went by, and I still was the only girl at the church who didn't have the Holy Spirit. And they all got it on Father's Day, too, so all their dads were like, oh, I'm so proud of you, except for me. And but I was all bummed out, and years went by, and I would go down front, and, you know, I liked being in church and all that good stuff. And but it was one Sunday, I was sitting there, and I had this weird feeling, and I was eight, and I was thinking, well, this is weird. I have this really weird feeling. I looked at the girl sitting next to me, and she was quite older than me, and I told her that I wanted to go down front, and she looked at me, and she's like, are you going to get the Holy Spirit tonight? And I said, I really think I am. I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, I'm going to get it tonight. Like, I have this feeling. And I got it, and I was like, oh, my goodness, that's awesome. I didn't understand. I was like, okay, well, I feel better now. I feel accomplished, like all the rest of the girls. And it was special. Everything changed, you know, when you get it. Everything looks better. Everything feels better. And you really feel like you were born again. But kind of backing up, since you all don't really know me or my family that well, my parents are really, I have a bunch of family in church. Like, I have one set of grandparents in the church, and in Alabama, Brother Sharber's church. And then I have a grandma back in Dawson. She moved with us to Dawson Springs, Kentucky in 2013. But the reason why we moved was because of my grandpa. And he wasn't in church anymore. But the reason why is because he really couldn't get to church. He was in a wheelchair, and we couldn't get him into a nursing home because he wouldn't go. But he wanted to be home with us, and we were taking care of him. He got into a lot of bad stuff and alcohol, and he'd been like that his whole life. But he always encouraged us to go to church. It wasn't his thing, but he made sure we all went. And he was very sweet about it. He had the Holy Spirit as well, but he quit at a really young age. But that day was his birthday that I got the Holy Spirit. And I can't tell you, when I'll never forget going back to his house and telling him this is the last time I ever saw him speak in tongues, to pray with us. And it was so special to me. And I was thinking of all the kids that are wanting to get the Holy Spirit now, and, you know, if they don't have it, that I really feel like God uses that. I mean, he gave it to me to help me out, but I can't tell you, but it made my grandpa feel like the Lord was with him too, still, even though he was sitting at home in his wheelchair by himself in his bad condition. But and I wish I could tell him or let him know, but I don't want to say his sickness, but his life actually changed my family's. We made a big spiritual move in 2013 because of him, and he realized that. And eventually he passed away, and he was alcohol free, and he didn't smoke another cigarette, and he was back to his old self again, and he would pray, and we would pray over him. And it's really special. This time, I guess you'd say, you know, my Holy Spirit birthday is special to me because of that, because I feel like me and him, yeah, connected. And it was nice to know that even though he wasn't able to go to church like we are, he could still, you know, pray at home. And but I just want to share that with you all. And I'm glad to be here with you all, too. It's nice being here in Little Rock. And thank you for allowing me to feel so at home.
I'm going to go ahead and stand up and say how thankful I am to be here today and just back at the church in general. Hearing all the testimonies and thinking about how everything's gone in the last, my life. I am thankful to be here, and I'm very happy to be here. And just like the last, month or so since the service or the meeting that everyone just come back from, it's been a big change here. The spirit, you've been able to feel it. And last weekend, it was a real good service for me. I actually managed to kind of break through and, speak in tongues for the first time since I got the Holy Ghost, which was, I was like 12 or 13, something like that, the campground, which, I was kind of pushed through prayer line out there and woke up in the grass. So, or come to, when everything happened over here, I don't even know how I managed to get up front over here. And, just when I started realizing what was going on, I couldn't say anything the way I wanted to. So, which was much needed. They talk about, you go through, fire and trials and, things that you just push and it doesn't move. And then when you let go, it comes at you. And I've needed that, in that aspect, in most aspects, the Lord has taken care of me. He's kept his hand on me and kept me sane. And I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that everybody's put up with me. I can be a little challenging, a little creative. And I'm looking forward to what's coming, and I'm looking forward to what will be. And I'm just happy to be here.
I'm thankful to be here tonight, and I was trying to get my girls' attention over there, and they're ignoring me intentionally, so, but my heart started pounding, and, sometimes a parent has to take the lead, and anyway, I was thinking I haven't testified since we had went to the Houston meeting, and different ones have said it was a very, very good meeting from the very opening of the meeting to when we left. We left before the service ended on that Sunday, but we listened to it at home, so I know how it ended. the service that meant the most to me, different ones have mentioned already, Brother Paul McGowan, that Saturday service, they had the prayer line that everyone has referred to. It's basically, I think, almost 95% of everybody in that building went through the prayer line. I didn't because I'm scared of crowds. But anyway, the Spirit that whole day long, for me, just felt, it felt different. I've been too many meetings growing up in this way, but it just, that meeting felt totally different to me. And that night service, like Brother Paul McGowan said, there was some that had stepped forward and wanting to pray, I guess wanting to be prayed for. But when Brother Wright started speaking, you know, pull on the Lord right where you're at. I don't remember his exact words, but what I got out of it was, wherever you're at, you need to learn how to pull on the Spirit. You know, he was talking about right then and there in that moment, but in my heart, it was, you know, take that home with me. You know, if I'm in my car, if I'm at home, if I'm in service, you know, wherever I'm at in my life, I need to be able to pull on the Lord in that instant. You know, I'm not going to always have a prayer line. I'm not going to always have somebody to bail me out, you know, so to speak. But the Lord is there, and he's able to help me in any situation. And when he started speaking, I just lifted both my hands up and just felt him, the Lord, from head to toe. And I couldn't stop speaking in tongues. And I stopped for a brief moment and was looking around. And, I mean, the whole, it was 100% participation. And even some has even mentioned, I think it was Brother Smith mentioned that different ones are testifying about how they felt angels in the midst. They could hear music. There wasn't any music playing because Brother Steve Marshall, who it was, passed out in front of the piano. So there couldn't have been music if they wanted it because you couldn't get to the piano. But I, when I was praying, I could hear music. And I even stopped, and I looked over at Natania. You know, I looked up on the platform, and I'm like, no, nobody's playing music. I looked over at Natania, and I was like, there's no music. You know, and bless her heart, she probably didn't even know what I was talking about. I'm like, there's no music because he can't get on the piano if he wanted to, you know. And then I just started speaking in tongues again because at that moment I realized, you know, God was in our midst, you know, that you could just feel his presence. And I think I told Nathan on the way home, I kind of, all these years of being in this, I kind of would get jealous. You know, everyone would speak about the 1953 experience on the campground. Well, I wasn't even thought of in 1953. but, I kind of get jealous, like, wow, you know, they experienced something that great, that grand. You know, I want that in my time. And I told Nathan on the way home, I said, I felt like that was my 1953 experience was like 2015 for me. Because it was, I mean, there's no way to explain it. Brother Billy Brown said it best when he said, wow. You know, different ones, you know, kind of make fun because he's usually a man of a lot of words. But that was all he could do to describe the meaning was wow. And it was, there's no explaining. When you reach that point in God, there's really no explaining. You know, you have to feel it. But I know different ones have seen the videos and everything. I'm thankful that I was able to go and be a part. And I'm thankful for what the Lord's doing in my life and doing in our lives as a family, being able to be here and working and laboring amongst you. And I just desire y'all's prayers so that I can go on in the Lord and be what he would have me be. And I'm just thankful to be here.
That we get to have these youth services because it always encourages me during the week after we have them and even the whole month until the next one. And I guess I'll go ahead and say something about Houston since it was brought up. But I didn't hear the music, but the whole time while we were praying, I kept having this thought that kept coming to me that this is great, but greater things are coming after this. Something even greater is coming. And I just couldn't help but cry because I knew it was so true. And Sister Lydia was talking in the youth choir practice. We didn't sing it, but the words in one of the songs were,
mold me, shape me from this world, separate me. And she said, you have to be able to let go of the world and embrace the church. You can't hold hands with the church and the world at the same time, because the Lord can't work in you when you're doing that. So you need to let go of the world and embrace the church. And that just, like, that's been stuck with me the whole time. I need to learn to let go and embrace so he can use me. Because I but the meeting was a very encouraging meeting, and I'm just thankful to be here tonight.
I'm an old man with a young man's heart right now. It might do me good and somebody else good for me to confess a lot of the problems in my life. It's kind of like you young people's scared to be get up and talk. I don't know about you, but I don't know why I have that situation, but by studying myself a little bit to try to understand myself, I'll tell you this. Having this, what they call it, a hair lip on my mouth, caused a whining sound when I talked, and from first grade, second grade, on up through school, certain people made a lot of fun of it. And it caused me to feel backward, afraid to stand up, say anything. I wouldn't give my 1 year. We had to make a speech. And I had it all ready, but I didn't have the courage to get it up. Got a failing score for that quarter of the year. I had to endure quite a bit of embarrassment through school, high school, everywhere it went. And a big problem that I had in my life was, I'm saying this for some of you. I know you're afraid to get up and speak. And here lately, my memory has been, in the last few years here, car wrecks and damage to my body, and it's affected my memory. I've just got to confess this to open myself up a little bit. But I want to encourage you young people. I know how you feel. I feel that way right now. I'm confessing that it's affected my memory. And I want you to pray for me. But I'm looking at it. At first, I was really humiliated and really affected me. But now, as in praying to God to help me, I've come to the point that God has done this to me to make me suffer. I got to thinking that why am I so backward? Why am I so afraid to get up? I'm afraid somebody will notice my weakness. My voice in the early years, part of my nose was stopped up. I didn't know it. It was that way when I was born. It's affected my nose. And it's embarrassing to stand up here if I don't have something to wipe it. I'm telling you. It'll hold you back. But I'm pressing through. I'd like to help some of you that may be afraid. Listen, one of the hardest things I had to do was make a choice. I hope Joyce understands. I was in the Air Force, and I was dating Joyce when I went into the Air Force and to delay my planned marriage to her. And while I was in the Air Force, then I decided I wanted to marry her before I got out. So I planned it after about a year, and I did. I married her. Part of the purpose was really difficult. I made high scores and high enough in the class to qualify me to become an instructor, which caused me to be a speaker. And it was because I wanted to marry Joyce, and I didn't want to wait 4 more years till I could get out. I wanted to marry her right away. I didn't want to go and leave the country, but I would have been called to go overseas for the rest of my 4 years. But I found out that my score in the class qualified me to become an instructor. When I thought of being an instructor, I just see myself standing up before a group of younger and older men making fun of my voice. It had a kind of a whiny, like part of your nose is stepped up. Well, I didn't even realize that. I didn't know that. But one day in church, we were singing, and I had been asked to sing a Christmas carol on one Christmas. And so it was me only. First time I'd ever sung by myself. I happened to be the recorder in this church, that church in St. Louis. And when I sang, I had no thought of being recorded. I left the recorder on when I got up to sing, probably on purpose, but I never heard myself and that whangy noise. And I wondered, and I thought, oh, no wonder people mock me like that. Now I understand. And it was so, can you imagine, embarrass you, and you feel like, no, I never want to get up and no one to hear me talk again. I had people, young men, older men, make a lot of fun of me and people to laugh. And so I had a hard time in speech. Lost a quarter because I wouldn't get up and give a speech. I mean, a quarter of school grades. I had the message up and ready and could do it to myself, but I couldn't dare to get up and let everybody hear my voice. I just lost a score. And while I was in there in the Air Force and was so in love with Joyce, and I'm glad I was, of course, but there came a time that I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to wait for her. It was about the second year I was in there. And when I finished the school at the first year, I had a choice of whether I could go overseas for the rest of the 4 years, or I could get married and accept the job of being an instructor, which scared me. It was my choice whether for Joyce or endure my voice and speech problems. I prayed. Boy, I prayed. I just did not want to take the job of talking in front of people. I had so many things that was said about me, even when I'd be up talking. One older man would always get up and mock me. And I had a dozen remarks back to him. Until it got insulting. And a little problem there and that I had to just overcome. And I got it pretty well done. I was motivated by the effect of it, that it bothered me that I couldn't speak clear. I heard it on a tape. That Christmas song I sung, and it's from that time I was afraid to get up and talk. I just was embarrassed. Hard for me to get up. Even my brothers made fun of me, and it just really hinders him. But I had so much love for Joyce, so that I could marry her. I took the job of being an instructor. And as I accomplished that 2 years, 3 years, as an instructor, it helped me a great deal to get up and talk. And I made it through that. And a lot of my problems right now, as I said, is my voice is much better than what it was when I was worried about it. But you may be able to tell it a little bit. But nevertheless, I got over that. And the next thing became when I became the pastor here. It was not my choice, whether you believe it or not. Some people thought I was wanting it. But I was glad to be relieved of it. When I met and he told me what the Lord had said to him about coming to be our pastor. And I had prayed. I don't know how, I can't explain the whole story because it's not necessary, but I was made to be the pastor of this church when Brother Liniger died. And I began to work with it. And I was doing pretty good, but finally God let me see that I wasn't the one. And I talked to Brother Smith, and I didn't understand at first, but he told me how God had dealt with him and showed him how he was going to go. I don't know if I get this exactly right, Brother Smith, but I remember talking to you, and when you told me how God dealt with you and what places he put you, and you'd seen, God showed you that you were going to be a pastor at this church. And I don't know if he'd ever told anybody else that, I don't know, but when I heard that, I was just stunned. And that's the answer. That was the answer. And I told him how I had been dealt with it from the Lord and how I things were working and I was feeling from the Lord. And it's a puzzle, but I understood it. I seen God deal with me and twist the thing around and set it right in a better man's lap. He was the one. And the reason why it was, I can't explain to you, the reason why it was changed is kind of a mystery. I accepted it by Brother, the ministers, not only Brother Liniger, but the others, they all wanted me to become the pastor there. And when I seen, I didn't have it. My history was, my job and my history was an electronic technician. Worked on computers for 15 years. And I could just about read one and tell you what the problem was. I did very good with that. But when I became the pastor and gave up my job, I didn't feel qualified. But I did what I was asked to do, to take the job. And I could see even what I tried to do, try to please you and try to meet this, I knew I was not what I should be. And God dealt with me so much. I prayed and prayed and prayed. I don't know if you all prayed for me. But God made a way. And to me, the way God dealt with me about it probably puzzled several of you. But I was made to know that Brother Smith was the one. He had the confirmation on me. And it met all the things that I was seeing and needing and what the church needed. And both of us prayed and made a choice. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad. And I'm convinced that it was God's will for Brother Smith to take this forth. And I'm still glad. And I'm thankful. And it's been hard. Bashfulness almost. It's not really bashfulness, but it's because of a memory loss. And that's because of several wrecks, so much damage on my head and my brain and my neck at the same time right now. I have pain all the time in my neck. There's 5 vertebrae there that's been damaged. And it's caused up here from my head going right through, not quite through, but almost through the window, the front window of that old van that I drew. And I still have scars all over my top of the head where it bled all over, and it's probably the main damage to my brain. So I'm letting you all know, understand that, and I'd like your prayer and help me to get not ashamed of it. I'd like to say things sometimes, but today I'm standing because I see the young people having problems similar to what I had. Being taken, I went through 3 years in the military, standing up before some smart alecks who could make jokes out of you and make a fool of you. You know, I got more spiritual right there, probably from any of the other times before I got the Holy Ghost. But I endured some of that. Some of it was because I wanted to marry Joyce and not have to go overseas. So I did. So I became an instructor, wound up here in what I've told you. And I am right now happy. I'm happy of what it's the way it's going. I'm so thankful of my family all being here and being, I hope, faithful, and always will be faithful. What God wants us to be is to be faithful and to trust in Him. He wants us to learn that. And I want to learn to be open, just to let you know why it's hard for me to get up and talk. I could hardly keep from crying as Sister Hannah spoke. She talked about her grandpa. And I had a grandpa when I was young, and when I was 7 years old, he had cancer and was dying from the cancer. And he did die just a little bit after I got not the Holy Ghost, but at 7 years, I was baptized with him just before he died with cancer. And I think of all those things and how God has kept me. I can't describe the history of it all, but I'm so glad I'm still here. And the experience I've been through, I'm thankful for. I have thought in the past when I didn't understand God. I thought in the past that God didn't like me. Well, that come because the best I can remember was I was about 4 or 5 years old. You know, in our church there in little town of Imperial where I grew up, and my dad had built church, and we were members of that church about as long as it lasted, and the rest of us started going to St. Louis, and so there was a lot of changes. But through that, in that church, little church, all of my brothers and sisters, and most all the children, I guess, I don't know exactly, but it seemed like out of all that group, until I was grown up 12 years and more, still didn't get the Holy Ghost. And I become, I don't know how to describe the feeling I had. I say that it feels like Jesus don't like me because he won't give me the Holy Ghost, because all the other kids had the Holy Ghost. And I cried so much when I went to seek the Holy Ghost. And when I was pretty young, I made a little fool of myself. Because I said, Lord, what do you want me to do to get the Holy Ghost? And I was down on my knees. This probably was about 7 years old. I was really getting really jealous of everybody having the Holy Ghost. All the kids did. And after a long time, I got the feeling God don't love me. And my characterism was just a backward. I just went backwards, thinking God didn't love me. And then some people would try to help me and press me, but when my nose started running, people made fun of it, didn't have my handkerchief, other people helping me do it, and that's embarrassing. And it just stopped me. All of those things. I'm just letting you know some of the little examples. But you know, after I got married and had a couple of children, got back from the military, and kept going to church, there was one day we'd had a little fellowship meeting in St. Louis, not too long before we moved from there to here. But one night, we got up, and I just thought, God, I've got to get the Holy Ghost. Why can't I get the Holy Ghost? And you know, that was about a 3-day and night meeting, and I was just like I have been for a long time, just scared to get up and seek the Holy Ghost, and cause people to be delayed for hours down trying to help me get the Holy Ghost. And it embarrassed me. I'd get up and somebody would encourage me to go back. And this pertinent time, it was the last night of the meeting, and at the end of the service, they made an altar call. And I thought, oh, these people, they've been here 3 days and 3 nights, and they don't want me to come down there and seek the Holy Ghost. But the pastor made one more invitation. And I went down, just shaking my head. I said, God, here I am. I want the Holy Ghost. If you have any love for me, please give me the Holy Ghost. I've got a wife, 2 children, and I need it, Lord. Seemed like I was having a hard trouble. I said, God, if you'll just give me the Holy Ghost, just give me the Holy Ghost. I prayed for it. And I laid that back down again. Most everybody left. And there was a couple of part of my family, uncles and others that was there. They stayed there and prayed with me. I hope this is not too boring, but maybe you can get something out of it. And I knelt down there, and I got so desperate. I prayed and prayed and prayed for the Holy Ghost many times like this. This time I was prepared with a wet handkerchief. Okay. Anyway, so I kept praying, and I still couldn't. People were leaving, and I remember them all talking, and some of them, one or two of them, would be down there still praying for me. And I just said to the Lord, I said, God, whether you want to give me the Holy Ghost or not, I'm not going to give up, because I want to keep my children in church. And if you don't want to give me the Holy Ghost, I'll just do the best I can. And before I had that out of my mouth, and I was talking about it, I was speaking in tongues. When I made the definite stand to not give up, I was speaking in tongues. Now I want to you know what, you don't know what that meant to me. You can't know. I was already married and had these children. And here I hear myself speaking in tongues. And joy, unspeakable. I mean it. It probably one of the first smiles on my face in years come over my face. And I enjoyed that. I even remember this. I was enjoying that for about 2 weeks. And it was that way because I could hardly speak without speaking in tongues. If I just thought about it and began to thank the Lord for it, I'd be chattering and couldn't hardly keep from speaking in tongues. And I was so proud of it. I was so glad. And I said, God loves me. Yes. I know He loves me. Yes. Whether my brothers and sisters or anybody else loved me, I didn't care. God loves me. And it done so much for me. Lifted me up. And I'm still so thankful. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He does love you. He does love you. If you don't give up, don't give up. It's worth everything. It's a new life. It's a new person. And if you'll just believe it, and God will show you when you get desperate, God will show you. Pray through. God's so good to forgive me so many times. I'm still, God's forgiving me. I'm still having troubles. Are you? God loves you. Keep on. Keep on keeping on. Overcome these things that hinder. It's in your nature. I you know what? I really want to tell you this. All of that that I went through in embarrassment, I had dreams that God talked to me about. God showed me Himself and the pastor in my church when I was about 12 years old. And that's when I was really seeking the Holy Ghost and couldn't get it. And Jesus appeared in the night when I couldn't sleep. He appeared at the foot of my bed. He stood there with his arms out like this and let me know that he loved me. And behind him was the pastor. And I'll never forget that picture. It was so encouraging to me at that time. It was one of those times when I'd been seeking the Holy Ghost, couldn't get it. And so many, I don't know how many dreams I could tell you that I got when I had been seeking the Holy Ghost. It was things about me not having the Holy Ghost. It was about my fears and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, I suffered the courage to seek the Holy Ghost. The older I got, after we were married, I felt it was a shame for me at my age. I didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, and yet all my brothers, sisters, and everybody in my family, everybody had the Holy Ghost but me. What's wrong with him? Why don't he get the Holy Ghost? Somewhere, somebody told me that God was making a special person out of me. Don't believe it or not, whether you think it or not, but that encouraged me. What am I going to be so special about? Why? I never thought I'd be a pastor. And when I was, I still didn't feel. But God gave me a chance if I would have kept that. But I still think it's the right thing. I think Jesus was just showing he loved me. I can use you. If I say this, I mean it with all my heart. I'm not giving up. I've already started. I believe I'm on my way. I'm going to make it. Right now, some of what we're being taught, I'm reading a book on it, right parallel with it, and I'm having trouble. I can read it, I understand it, but maybe a day or two more, I will have forgotten it. Now, I've told you why I don't get up very much. But I want you to understand it. I want you to know how good God has been to me. Although the devil, as they call him, I'm afraid he's not out there, but he's right here. But I've got something else in there besides the devil. I've got a spirit of the Holy Ghost that's helping me. And God is just encouraging me, going, and here's what I want you to know. The things that I suffer now, I don't get mad about it. I don't, because I believe God is putting me through a trial and a test, or test. It's all God. It's all God. And now I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Jesus has got control of me. And if I have to go through pain, I think about Jesus. And when I suffer, I don't think God is punishing me at all. If He is, why did He punish Jesus? Why did Jesus have to suffer? There's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for it. I could say, I think my suffering is because God wants to humble me. Just give me all the pain you want to, Lord. I'm not giving up. As long as you let me live, I want to worship you. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to do whatever I can to help my brothers, my sisters. God, help me do that. I pray God can help me, help you. This is a good place to stop, maybe. But I want you to know, I love this place. It seems like it's shrunk a little bit from where we've been. But listen, God is not stopped. You people are special. We've had a lot of good people go through here. And there's still people coming through here. And I pray that I can help. But I don't have the feeling that I have the quality or the ability like I should have if my brain would quit fading out and I forget what's been said and have to read the Bible again. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. Get a little bit more every time I read it. But I want you all to know, keep on the firing line. Don't give up. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. We can make it. We can make it. I've been in this body all my life. I'm 74 years old now. I don't know where the last 20 years went. I just can't hardly remember it. It discourages me at times because I can't remember. I forget some of your names. But I'm going to keep on keeping on. I promise. I wish you would take the same thing because you're going to be tried. You don't make heaven your home without some suffering. Otherwise, why did Jesus have to suffer if He hadn't done anything wrong? He still had to suffer. God let that be. Well, you know, if He had to suffer, that much more we need to suffer. Because Jesus was made that way by the suffering that He went through. He was made perfect by suffering. You see that? That just was a revelation to me when I saw that. Romans 8:28. Got to thinking about that. Never will forget that scripture. If you don't believe it, read it. It's a good one. It's a good one. And I live by it. I live by that. The suffering on my neck right now is just hard. It cramps me once in a while. And I'm going to see a doctor here in a week or two and see what they can do for it. But I have the feeling that they can't do any more for it. Okay? God, if you want me to suffer, take me through. Take me on, Lord. It's all for you. Thank you, Lord. I want you all to understand me. I love you. And if I can find a time that I can help and help you understand me, why I don't get up as much, but I want you to understand me. And I don't know if I'll ever get to learn all about the end of Revelations. I don't know if I'll be able to get that, but whatever, I want to do all that I can to understand, stay in the what? In the boat, okay. God bless every one of you. I remember the days when I didn't have that in my pocket. Excuse me. Thank you very much. I love you all.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. All things
you young people and your good words, and then some of you that maybe aren't quite so old and your good words. I just wanted to mention, I know it's been announced that some of the youth are going to the Springville, Alabama youth meeting. Brother Sharber's this coming weekend. And those that go will be gone all weekend to be able to make that meeting. Sister Holly is in, she went to the Cisco meeting. Sister Smith and I had contemplated going to that meeting. If I hadn't hurt my foot, I'd have probably went, but wasn't able to make it. But the report, I got the report, and I am getting the DVDs, that they had a similar spirit that was in the Houston meeting, in the Cisco meeting. It seemed like the Lord's still blessing in that vein. This was found on the parking lot today. It's a little inhaler. If anybody lost it, well, it's up here. The next minister's meeting is in Jacksonville, Florida, Brother Dials, April the 7th through the 10th. That's Tuesday through Friday. I'm sure going to that meeting, but I don't know if any of you brethren are thinking about going, but that's the dates of it. And then the April the 30th through May the 2nd is a Paducah regional meeting, which is, I would count it in our region. So some of you may want to be thinking about going to that meeting. I think it would be good for us to support that. Paducah hadn't been able to have too many meetings. They're just about too small of a physical assembly or building anymore to even hold a minister's meeting. But they probably could make it work. But they wanted to have a minister's meeting this year, but there just wasn't any room for it. And so they turned it into a regional. So April the 30th through the 2nd. Then this coming Saturday, Russellville's area meeting is a fellowship meeting in Russellville, Saturday at 11. I plan on going to that, if any of you want to go. Anyway, so I just thought I would mention that. Then something to think about, some of you would, our youth meeting this year is July the 23rd, 4th, and 5th, isn't it? Isn't that the dates? And the ministries asked Brother Ross and I to consider, you know, some way of making it possible that some of them could come, just like the Brother Sharber would like to come to our youth meeting, but he said, I can't feel right about not supporting ours, and it's just like a week apart. So I don't know if we could adjust our date some. That's number one. Number two, I'm considering canceling the youth meeting this year. Maybe just making room for, you know, the Lord to, I'm just praying about that. I'm not saying we're going to do that yet, but I'm looking at maybe changing the dates. But in 2016 is our minister's meeting. We won't have a youth meeting that year. So that'd be 2 years in a row that we wouldn't have a youth meeting in Little Rock. So that would be something we need to think about. But anyway, it's something I wish you'd pray with me about. And also maybe, you know, just, could we move the dates more? Could it be in August? When does the school start up again in this year, this next school year? Does anybody know? Of July? August? So we could move it. When's the second week? Uh, Well, that would put us too far into it, wouldn't it? So it'd have to be the first week. What's the first Thursday in August? How far would that move us back from the 23rd? And when is Brother Ross's meeting? The youth meeting is July the 16th. And we're talking about August the what? Well, see, there's a minister's meeting August the 4th through the 6th. We'd have to start our youth meeting the night that August, unless we had it over a weekend or something. But if we moved it even to the 30th, would that be, is that a Thursday? 30th of July, that'd move us 2 weeks behind Louisville. Anyway, pray with us. I may talk to Brother Ross and see if he would consider moving his up or something. It would spread us out a little further. We could get a month apart or something. It might be more beneficial. But I realize, and I want y'all to know, I know how hard it is for this congregation to host a youth meeting every year, or a meeting, a general meeting, basically, every year. I know it's taxing on us. I know God's always blessed it, too. And that's one of the things I'm fearful about. You know, I don't want to miss the Lord. So I just want y'all to pray with us about that. I thought I'd mention these meetings that are up. The next one's coming up, ministers, regional, and Russellville's meeting this next Saturday. Of course, the youth will be going to Springville, but some of the folks here may want to go to the Russellville area meeting. All right, let's stand and give God a praise before we go home. Thank God for your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, for your mercy. God, your hand on our lives, your good covering and spirit that you've helped us with, Lord. Our youth, touch them, Lord. Help them, oh God. Let your leading and guiding be upon each one of us, oh God, to do your will even in a greater way, we pray. Amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. See you Wednesday night.